All right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is on in the chat. Robin Aroni is on. Agravain is on. Charlie 340 is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Bud Dave is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. General Plowman is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Mike Griffith is on. Deb Plan is on. Let me see here. Richard Perry is on. Scrolling down, Dead Plan is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Granite 2468 is on. PD Frank is on. USA Happy Girl is on. Let me see here. Salty Gonads is on. Scrolling down. Gloyd Shaw is on. Those Jesus People is on. Neo Solo is on. Sparky 8142 is on. Let me see here. Deb New 2011 is on. DK Jackson is on. Sexy Pony is on. Snag Dog is on. K4 VMS is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Let me see here. Biggie 926 is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Sunwoo 45 is on. Freedom Rings is on. I can't get it. But anyway, Molkenthen, there we go. Molkenthen is on. Hello, back to you. Sorry, I butchered your name. Molkenthen is on. I'll get it from now on. Conservative Waffle is on. Let me see here. Uncle Wally is on. Milwaukee James is on. LA 106 Times is on. Johnny F62 is on. Leon Fishpuppy is on. Just scrolling down to the bottom real quick. My Broken Heart is on. Total G Word is on. Let me see here. Hit just about everybody. There we go. So let me do a couple things before we get to the collusion hoax. It just keeps getting worse and worse for the Democrats. But as the title of the show says, will anybody go to jail? Let me just state this for the record. I believe that if anybody would put any of these people in jail, again, we're talking Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Hillary, Biden, Obama, Susan Rice, many others, it would be Trump. I mean, I'm hard on Trump when things need to be said, but he is the exception to the rule because he certainly is the exception with every other area. He really is. And, obviously, everybody knows I'm not a big fan of the Epstein thing. I've been, excommunicado from the MAGA movement. Somebody actually told me today, I love you, whoever you were. I appreciate it, but don't agree with you. But, Tom, you're getting it wrong on the excommunicado. Now I can read you the Truth Social Post if you want. Truth Social Post said anybody, any of my past supporters who want the Epstein files released, and anybody who wants them released is no longer welcome to be my supporter. So that's a fact. Okay, so, but that's not going to turn me into a liar. It's not going to turn me into a Trump attacker because Trump doesn't want me to be his supporter anymore. So I'm still going to talk about the truth. And he's still the greatest president in my lifetime. He really is. He is. Doesn't want my support. And I won't give him my support. What I mean by that is I'll vote for him over any Democrat and over most Republicans. But I won't go out of my way, to give him my support. But because that's not what he wants. That's what he told me. So I do what people, I do what people's words and their actions tell me that they want. I don't do what I tell what I want. But anyway, so before we get to this, just some great accomplishments. Great accomplishments by the Trump administration. One of the greatest accomplishments, though, my original theme, is will anybody actually go to jail? I believe that if anybody could do it, if anybody would do it in my lifetime, I don't believe Reagan would do it. I don't believe Bush 1 would do it. Obviously, Clinton wouldn't do it unless it was Republican. Every Democrat would gladly put Republicans in prison, but no Republicans will ever put a Democrat in prison. I don't know why. I mean, for self-preservation, I don't know why. Because I just wonder how it is that that Republicans see Democrats raiding Republican homes, using the DOJ to raid Republican homes, file lawsuits, CIA cutout lawsuits, NGO cutouts, that you and I are paying for, to sue Trump, to sue Alex Jones, everything else, not to mention the criminal persecutions via prosecutions of Donald Trump, Navarro and Bannon, and others, and General Flynn. How it is that for self-preservation reasons, Republicans cannot see that you had better start prosecuting Democrats, or you will. We don't prosecute for made-up crimes like the collusion hoax, where they just make up, it's not even, again, with the collusion hoax. What's crazy about the collusion hoax, it's not just that it was presented to them and they knew it was false and went and investigated and prosecuted it anyway. They actually made it up and then investigated and prosecuted it. I mean, it's truly, I mean, it really is unbelievable. These people have to go to prison. They really do. Aaron was talking about this in the when we were before the show. And he's talking about Trump should have you know, locked up Hillary. I remember being at the Trump rally in Sarasota, Florida. It was actually the last rally that he did in the 2016. Was it the last one or second to last one? Rally that he did in 2016. And we were all yelling, lock her up. I mean, he never said he was going to, though. He honestly never said he was going to. And he didn't. And that, and when Aaron said it, I said, well, you know, you'd have to cross a Rubicon that's never been crossed. But then I started to think to myself, though, they had already crossed it before that. I mean, they were already going after Republicans before that. But certainly now that Trump's home has been raided, I mean, you need to, you know, and again, this is redundant for the red-pilled crowd. But when you're looking at his West Palm Beach classified documents case, Jack Smith, and then you have the Jack Smith insurrection case, seditious conspiracy case in D.C., the election interference case with Fannie Willis in Atlanta, and then the 34 felony counts, the campaign finance violation counts in New York, E. Jean Carroll, where hundreds of millions of dollars have been, she'll never get it, but have been given her in settlement for her false rape allegations. The civil fraud real estate allegations where Trump had to cough up $500 million, appears that he's going to win in the appellate court in New York. It's such a ridiculous charge. And it's starting to turn out that a lot of his accusers, like Adam Schiff, did the exact same thing. That he, you know, like Letitia James and Adam Schiff, did the exact same thing they accused him of, because they're always projecting onto us things that they're already doing that we've never done. So I just state for the record that I believe that if anybody will put these people in prison, it will be Donald Trump. There will be deep state resistance to it. People slow walking things. People have to be fired, gotten out of the way. It needs to be a small, you know, tombstone style band of Avengers that need to go through this, because if you involve too many people in prosecuting, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, Clinton, Obama, Biden, and Susan Rice, and all the rest of them, Strzok, Page, Strzok, who just got reimbursed for all the money that he lost from being fired from the FBI. Imagine that. He's the one actually texting about an insurance policy, which was the collusion hoax. But if anybody will put these people in prison, it needs to be a small band of people, because there's many, many deep state actors all throughout these agencies that will slow walk this thing. You know, we need this file by this time. We need this file, and then just slow walk it. It needs to be a small band of people that Trump actually trusts that are willing to basically lose their political lives. Because you'll either lose your political life with this, or you will become a president, a senator, congressman, future administration member, vice president, whatever it may be, if you participate. Like, if you're Tulsi Gabbard, if you're Pam Bondi and you actually prosecute these people, because Tulsi Gabbard has DNI, isn't prosecuting anybody, but she's referred it to the DOJ, and you're Cash Patel and you prosecute this, you're Dan Bongino and you prosecute this, you could be looking at Patel Bongino 2028. So, I mean, or you could be looking at, you know, Vance Patel 2028, whatever it may be, with Bongino as the Secretary of Defense or Bongino as the FBI Director, whatever it may be. And if you do this and it doesn't pan out, it could cost you your political life. But maybe not that either. Who knows? Because it certainly didn't cost any Democrats their political life by going after Republicans. All right, so let's do a couple minor stories. Well, they aren't minor, but other stories other than the collusion story, and then we're going to get into the collusion. Otherwise, I'll never get to these things. And I want to make sure that we highlight, I'm looking at them right now, these headlines, these really good deals that Trump is pulling off, because now everything was about Epstein, and now it's all about the collusion hoax. People are suspecting the collusion hoax is the diversion from Epstein. I think it could be honest with you. I think it could be. But this has been referred to the DOJ. But, of course, what does that mean with Pam Bondi? We don't know yet. Right? I mean, unimpressed. Pam Bondi has been a D minus F as the attorney general so far. Bongino and Patel, not done well either. I'm still waiting for everything. Nothing's happened. But if they actually prosecute these people, even if they lose, if they actually prosecute them, and it appears via conspiracy against rights, you can actually not try them in D.C. If we can try them in some other place, there's a very solid chance that they'll be found guilty. Not because it's an unfair trial, but because finally it will be fair. All right, so let me go over this real quick. Eric Doherty. Now, this was my own little pet peeve. My son, who does my own little like Rumble shorts that we put out and little short clips off the podcast. It's been my own little pet peeve about the Fed. They just did a 2.6, or they're in the midst of doing a $2.6 billion renovation to the Fed building. How does a building you ever even cost $2.6 billion? Aaron found it last night for me that, is it Allegiant Air? Is that right?
Allegiant
Stadium in Vegas. Las Vegas for the Raiders. Cost $2.3 billion to build the stadium.
Yeah.
And the federal building renovations for the Fed, which is a private organization, cost you and I $2.6 billion? How is that even remotely possible? It's so absurd, I don't even know how to talk about it. I mean, it's so outlandish, it's so outrageous. How in the world does that even happen? It has a $700 million overage in expenditures. That's what's going on. $2.6 billion for renovation of a building? How many Fed employees are there? But it doesn't matter anyway. No building in the world. There's no building in the world that houses that small of an institution, the Fed, that would ever cost $2.6 billion when Allegiant Stadium cost $300 million less. Unbelievable. But anyway, Eric Doherty video, Scott Bessent to the Fed. Now, Scott Bessent, A+, okay? A+. In his performance as Treasury Secretary, A+. I mean, he's getting all these deals done, and there's mega deals being done, which we'll get to next. But here he is addressing the Fed, Eric Doherty video. Play for me.
To be clear, I am calling for an internal review, and I think that this could be Jay Powell's legacy, that the Fed, since the great financial crisis, has had what I call gain-of-function monetary policy, and you know, the expenses have gone up a lot. The Federal Reserve Board expenses since 2004 are up 4x. You know, I can tell you, at Treasury, we cut our expenses about 17% last year. So I think that this is a chance. The Fed does a regular review of their monetary policy framework. I think that this is a good opportunity for Chair Powell's legacy to do an internal review of all the Fed's operations away from the monetary policy function.
Well, I mean, look, Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, the monetary policy is. We should keep that off to the side. That should be, you know, kind of like in a jewel box and protected. But everything else that the Fed has done over the years has just grown and grown and grown. And this is what happens when you don't have oversight. You know, they aren't subject to appropriations. They either use the money they make. Right now, they're losing about $100 billion a year, so they just print money to spend it. And I think a thorough review should be done. It can be done. And I have confidence in Chair Powell that, you know, if he were to do this, we could right-size the non-monetary functions of the Fed and bring it back down. You know, like the Fed shouldn't. We're always talking about the Fed this, the Fed that. You know, monetary policy should run in the background on behalf of the American people.
Yeah.
See, now these are the things, and you have to give credit to the Trump administration on these things because nobody's ever brought this stuff up before. Anybody ever talk about Fed expenditures until the Trump administration? Absolutely not. Not the Bushes. Either one or two, not Reagan. Nobody talks about Fed expenditures until Donald Trump comes along. Somebody who has actually run a business and understands the very essence of a bottom line. The Fed board expenses have gone up 4 times since 2020. Not that they've increased 4 separate times. The board expenses, what they pay themselves on the board to do, whatever it is the Fed board does, have quadrupled since 2023. They are 4 times more expensive than they were in 2023. It's 2025. How can the board cost 4 times more than it did less than 2 years ago? They're basically printing the money that they pay themselves. They're printing the money to build themselves a $2.6 billion building when Allegiant Stadium costs $2.3 billion in Vegas. I mean, it's just absolutely outrageous that this country is $37 trillion in debt with hyperinflation, and the Fed, its own expenses have gone up four times. They're four times more expensive than they were less than two years ago. They're printing the money that they pay themselves. And finally, somebody is actually looking into this, and that is the Trump administration. And exposing these, I mean, and you hear this, if you watch this podcast all the time, you know what I'm about to say. Everything's a lie. Everything is corruption. Everything is predicated on Democrats enriching themselves. It really is that simple. It really always does come down to a Bible verse. It really does. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Because the most miserable people in the world are Democrats. 1 Timothy 6:10. So, I mean, this is really what it's all about. You have a Democrat, Jerome Powell, and it doesn't matter whether there's an R or a D in front of his name. He is a Democrat. It just, Mitch McConnell is a Democrat. Mitt Romney, he's a Democrat. Lindsey Graham is a Democrat. And most people with R's in front of their names in Washington, D.C. are actually, I mean, most out of, and I've given this figure many times, but out of the 535 people in the Senate and the House, I'm telling you, 12 are decent human beings. 12, maybe 12. And I'm being generous with 12. And one of the most decent human beings is Thomas Massie, and Donald Trump's attacking him all the time. Somebody who actually is honest about everything. So finally, though, back to being positive about Trump, is that somebody's actually looking into this wholesale corruption. Because everything that we see is a lie. Everything is corruption. Everything is about Democrats and willing Republicans funneling money to themselves via NGOs. That is all that it is. And it doesn't matter. An NGO is a vast description, a non-government organization. It can be even a government organization. But this obviously here is really an NGO. Fed is the NGO. And that's our taxpayer dollars, $2.6 billion, being used to renovate a building with a $700 million over budget. $700 million over budget in this rebuild. Why would it ever even cost $100 million? They're not building a building here. Even if you were building a building, how does a building cost $2.6 billion? This is a renovation for $2.6 billion. All right, I'll get off of it. All right, go to the next one for me. Zero Hedge tweet. Trump says completed trade deal with Japan will pay reciprocal tariffs to the United States of 15%. Will open their country to trade, including cars and trucks, rice and certain other agricultural products and other things. Never been done before. We get all the Toyotas, we get all the Nissans, and they get no Chevys, they get no Fords. We just completed a true social post on the bottom. We just completed a massive deal with Japan, perhaps the largest deal ever made. Japan will invest, at my direction, $550 billion. So add that to the $16 trillion he's already secured in investment into our economy, both foreign and domestic investment. Into the United States, I mean, again, economically, greatest president in the history of the country, that in the history of the United States of America, no doubt about that. If he deals with the debt, he'll become the greatest president in history, even though he doesn't want me to be a supporter. I'm still going to tell him that. Which will receive 90% of the profits. This deal will create hundreds of thousands of jobs. There has never been anything like it. Perhaps most importantly, Japan will open the country to trade, including cars and trucks, rice, and certain other agricultural products and other things. Japan will pay reciprocal tariffs to the United States of 15%. This is a very exciting time for the United States of America, and especially for the fact that we will continue to always have a great relationship with the country of Japan. I don't know what their, I guarantee you that's a, I don't know what their tariffs were prior to 15%. Probably none or very little or single digits, so now it's way up to 15%. And now we've opened a very large, very much first world country's economy to our industries. That is a very, very huge deal. Huge deal. And why doesn't the question with this is, why does nobody else ever do this? Why does nobody else ever do this? I mean, I imagine, it's like the Fed building. I don't understand things that are not logical. I really, and just absolutely nonsensical. Why in the world? I mean, you have Democrats espousing it all the time, you know, talking about the evilness of tariffs. So if tariffs are evil, then we would all agree that they're evil, right? We would all agree that no matter who is sex trafficked, we'd all agree that it's evil, right? Right, okay, so we would all agree that that's evil. So you're saying that tariffs are evil, but it's evil if America puts a tariff on another country, but not if another country puts it on America. Why wasn't this done before where we are insisting upon tariffing countries that are tariffing us at 20 to 30% with ginormous trade deficits? Why has this never been done before? Except for Donald J. Trump. Why is that? And again, credit to him. I believe Donald J. Trump has a genius level intellect. I believe he has an extremely high IQ. But even with that, this is simple logic. I would do it. You would do it if we were president of the United States. If we're being tariffed, why would you not do reciprocal tariffs? Why would you not orchestrate trade deals to the benefit of the United States? It's almost as if you do something for the benefit of the United States, you're against the other country. Well, first of all, you should be against the other country in comparison to your loyalty to the United States of America. So it doesn't matter. But you're not against the other country. You're simply making the other country trade fairly. It's just like the whole anti-Semitism argument. They're not anti-Semite. You're not an anti-Semite because you criticize Israel. It's got nothing to do with that at all. It doesn't make you anti a Jewish human being. It makes you, you are criticizing a government. It's the same thing with tariffs. They tariff us and we tariff them. And then a lot of times in other Trump agreements, there's basically no tariffs going on. All right, let's go to the next one. Josh Dunlap tweet. As you heard, it's Tommy Cotton. These are the people you got to watch out for. I'm telling you right now, these are the people you got to watch out for. I believe, this is strictly my opinion, but I believe that he was behind the, Aaron, what's it called? It's not WhatsApp. What was the thing with
Signal.
Signal. The Signal. I believe that he was, I just lost my own mic. There we go. I believe that he was a part in that Signal chat debacle with Pete Hegseth. I believe that he was part of it because the people that were involved were former staffers of his. So those people have all been moved along because Tom Cotton wants Hegseth's job. And Tom Cotton is one of these Republicans. He's like John McCain, who says all the right things, allegedly doesn't do all the right things. He says all the right things. You have to almost say he does all the right things because they all vote, just like, the ultimate example is John McCain with Obamacare. John McCain, when we did not have the votes, eight times Obamacare was put up to be taken down, to be defunded, to be removed from United States policy. Eight times it was put up. And everybody knew this is typical DC and typical Republicanism in DC. Republicans are actually Democrats, every last one of them, with the exception of single digits in the Senate and single digits in the House. But Cotton's one of these guys. So eight times Obamacare was put up to be voted down, to be taken out of all United States policy. And when they knew they didn't have the votes to do it because there's too many Democrats in the Senate, people like Cotton, people like McCain, all voted to take it down. And then finally, when we owned the Senate to where we had a filibuster-proof majority, when it was finally that time that it could Obamacare, we could finally get rid of Obamacare, John McCain voted to keep it after voting seven straight times to get rid of it. Same exact bill, same exact legislation, same exact procedure. And John McCain, Tom Cotton's the exact same kind of guy. He says all the right things, but when push comes to shove, when the moment for him to stand up, when the moment for him to actually make a transactional statement, to make a transactional vote, to actually risk his political career, he doesn't do it. He's a coward. He sounds good when he talks. When it'll have no consequence on his political career, he votes correctly. I'm sure he voted many times, in useless votes too, so he can say these are the things that I voted for. But those people will vote for or against things when they know that they won't get what they voted for because they actually want to keep those things. You're like, Tom, is it really that convoluted? It really is that convoluted. It really is. I don't want to deep dive into this, but I want everybody to understand something. Because we all get enthralled with politicians and we support them. And it couldn't have been more enthralled with Trump than I was. And I still, not an official supporter because I've been, excommunicado, but I still would support Trump over any Democrat and almost every Republican, really every Republican that I could think of, maybe with the exception of DeSantis. But anyway, these guys are not legit. They're not legitimate. A lot of the people around Donald Trump are not legit. You can't trust Marco Rubio either. Has he done a great job under Trump so far? He has done a great job under Trump so far. But you cannot trust Marco Rubio either. Because you just look at the history of what he's done. Now, I have to say, though, over the last 2 years, yes, even including before he was Secretary of State, he was turning around. Truth is truth. But you cannot trust these people because really what's happening is Most Republicans are what I call placeholders. They're simply placeholders. They are there, like Tom Cotton, to keep a legitimate, because it is very hard to unseat an incumbent. I don't know why it is that way. Probably because of election fraud, campaign finance fraud, and everything else. But it's very hard to unseat a incumbent. Plus, nobody pays attention. I mean, again, people have lives. They're not like me. They have lives. They have things to do. They don't have time to be endlessly, you know, researching and looking at all these stories. So they don't really know. So they see clips of people like Tom Cotton. I know I haven't even got the story yet. You probably heard it. But anyway, they look at clips of Tom Cotton. They go, I agree with that guy. Yes, but how does he really vote? Does he ever vote correctly on pivotal votes? Because a lot of times you can actually have a high Liberty score. But do you vote correctly on the pivotal, in the pivotal moment? Because a lot of them vote correctly, again, when they know that what they are voting for will not pass or what they're voting against will not pass. They know that. So they just make sure that they check the box of conservatism so they can keep getting elected one cycle after another. But when the pivotal votes come, people like Cotton never come through. The pivotal ones, whether it's pro-life. Where was he all these years? Why did Trump have to overturn Roe v. Wade? He allegedly is big time pro-life, but he's never done a thing about it. Where is he on the border? Where was he? He said positive thing. He never did anything. They never actually, because if he actually does something at the border or makes the correct statements about the border, it could cost him a segment of the Hispanic vote, even though he doesn't get a segment of the Hispanic vote. That he may get a segment of it, but the segment of the Hispanic vote that he would get would always vote for him. But people like that, because what, back to the placeholder thing, people like Tom Cotton, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham, numerous others, almost everyone, Joni Ernst, all of these people, all of them, with notable exceptions like Ron Johnson and Rand Paul. Because those people put it on the line. They put it on the line. That doesn't mean I agree with them all the time. It's just they put it on the line. They vote and pivot. They vote. They conduct. They conduct hearings that are highly controversial, like Ron Johnson and the Vax, Rand Paul voting against Republican bills like the Big Beautiful Bill, as he should have, even though it could cost him politically. But most of these guys, like Tom Cotton, are placeholders. They are there so the legitimate Republican can't get their seat. And they vote the Democrat. They slowly but surely advance the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist agenda in a more palatable way, so that people like you and me think that we have people fighting for us in Congress. Jim Himes, Josh Dunlap tweet. Jim Himes, Democrat from Connecticut, demands DNI Tulsi Goldberg stop releasing Russia hoax documents. Oh, he demands it, Aaron. He demands it. While Tom Cotton pushes a new bill to slash her authority. I thought he was a Republican. Now, who's writing this? I think somebody who would know. That would be Steve Bannon. So Tom Cotton, this Republican, wants to slash her authority? Why would that be? Because he doesn't want the collusion hoax to be revealed because it's beneficial for him if it's not? Because how would it be beneficial to him? He didn't do anything. Because those are his friends. They are all one giant symbiote circle bleep. That's what they are. If he keeps those Democrats in office, they advance his political career. You're like, no, they're Republicans. You're living in a facade. You're living in a mirage. There's Antichrist versus Christ. There's Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit versus Antichrist spirit. That's it. There's nothing else to this life. Nothing else. He is a double agent, just like most ever. Like, again, out of 535, Senate and Congress, 10, 12 people are decent human beings that will actually vote at their own political risk. He's not one of them. Steve Bannon nailed Tom Cotton attempts to shut down grand criminal conspiracy investigation by crushing Tulsi because Democrats actually get him elected. Like, Tom, that's not possible. I'm telling you, it's true. They want him elected because they know that he'll work with Democrats. He'll cross the aisle. Well, anybody, you want to cross the aisle and do deals with baby butchers and penis loppers? Is that what you want to do? These people who espouse the virtue of bipartisan bills are a bunch of turncoats, James Cuckboy Lankford types. What do you do to bipartisan bill? Okay, is it an attribute? Is it a positive accomplishment if you would do a deal with Satan? Is it a positive because you came to an agreement? No. It's not an accomplishment to do a deal with a Democrat who wants to butcher the unborn, wants men marrying men, wants men in women's restrooms, wants to lop off the body parts of children, wants socialism, wants communism. You should never be able to come to any measure of agreement with these people. Just defeat them. But I just wanted to show you who he really is and who most Republicans really are too. All right, finally, let's get to the collusion. Little summation here from the beginning just to set us off here. Project Constitution video breaking. Tulsi Gabbard responds to Obama office's denial letter. Play for me.
Obama's been caught directly. So people say, oh, you know, a group. It's not a group. It's Obama. His orders are on the paper. The papers are signed. The papers came right out of their office. They sent everything to be highly classified. Well, the highly classified has been released. And what they did in 2016 and in 2020 is very criminal. It's criminal at the highest level.
President Trump today calling out former President Obama after DNI Tulsi Gabbard sent a criminal referral to the DOJ related to her claims that Obama-era officials manufactured and politicized intelligence to create the Russia collusion narrative in 2016. Intelligence that those officials have said they had great confidence in.
John Brennan and Jim Comey and I are part of the group that were tasked by President Obama to put together all the reporting we had on the Russian interference, and which we did. And then, of course, on January 6th, we issued our intelligence community assessment documenting the Russian interference, in which we had very high confidence in the evidence that we presented.
Gabbard also teeing up that there will be more declassified documents coming this week. Ahead of that, here's what we've learned so far. December 7th, 2016, the assessment reiterated that Russia did not tamper with election infrastructure. Just one day later, the editor of that assessment canceled the brief, quote, based on new guidance. By December 9th, 2016, Obama convened National Security Council principals and ordered a new assessment. And on January 6, 2017, the new unclassified assessment was released. Obama's office today firing back, issuing the following statement. Out of respect for the office of the presidency, our office does not normally dignify the constant nonsense and misinformation flowing out of this White House with a response. But these claims are outrageous enough to merit one. These bizarre allegations are ridiculous and a weak attempt at distraction. Nothing in the document issued last week undercuts the widely accepted conclusion that Russia worked to influence the 2016 presidential election but did not successfully manipulate any votes. These findings were affirmed in a 2020 report by the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee led by then Chairman Marco Rubio.
Just a couple of things on this real quick. First of all, just back to front. You can side by side that one, Aaron, right away. There you go. Just want to give everybody the timeline. Same timeline we basically discussed last night, although we have now January 6, 17 added to it. These people, again, I would not treat them out of hatred. I'm telling you how I feel. These people just make me loathe them. People like James Clapper, because they have this, what they do is they think that they have a veneer of credibility, or they don't think, it's not even a veneer for them. They think they have actual credibility because they've been in Washington, D.C. for 50 years. Whether it's him, whether it's Comey, whether it's Clapper, Strzok, Page, Biden, Obama, all the rest of Susan Rice, they think that because they are in Washington, D.C., and they've been part of various administrations, governmental organizations for years, that they have credibility. I mean, has everybody looked at our war record over the last 50 years? And of course, the national debt. How do these people have any credibility at all? I mean, I'm telling you right now, you could put a guy who runs a hot dog stand in charge of our economy, they would do better than these people. And people like Clapper, who at the time was the DNI, whether it was, you know, Brennan, who at the time was CIA, back in what we're talking about is prior to the Trump administration, in 2016, that's where they were. So prior to Trump won. Let's just look at our history. Vietnam War, absolute disaster. Korean War, absolute disaster. You're like, Tom, we won some military, I don't even want to call them, they're not really wars, so I don't know, military operations, really? Which ones? Well, I know we had the 30-minute strike over Iran that I was against, but which I am against, but that was a success, absolutely. But that's a strike. But we've had the, of course, Obama killed more people with drone strikes than all other presidents combined in history. We know that as the president of peace who got a Nobel Peace Prize. But I mean, does anybody look at, because these are the people that have run our recent history, pretty much from Vietnam on. So, I mean, I'm going to give them credit for Korea too, just because it's fun. Korea was a debacle. Vietnam was a debacle. The Gulf, all Gulf Wars were basically a debacle for all intents and purposes. The one in the early 90s, not so much because we didn't occupy Iraq, but you know, it was a quick, pretty much a quick military win. So I wouldn't call that a debacle, but the later ones, George W. Bush ones, in comparison to Herbert Walker Bush, Afghanistan, Iraq, debacles. I mean, one thing after national debt, $37 trillion in debt. How are these people? I mean, it's amazing to me that they don't come up to a podium like almost in a disguise because they're so ashamed of themselves because of their mass failures. But they actually go up. They have this arrogance as if, first of all, they know better than everybody else. And they have this arrogance because, like, we've been in Washington, D.C. all this time. We know what we're doing. Okay. You know what? If we had no debt and we'd won every war and our economy was booming while you were in office, then you know what we have to say? You know, you are a Washington governance expert. You are. Great, great job. You're a Washington governance expert. You're able to pull off what I can't pull off. That certainly is not the case. They lose every war. I mean, you look at the Afghan withdrawal in and of itself. What a debacle. What a disaster. There, Bay of Pigs, there's another one from the CIA, which is simply trying to instigate JFK into a military conflict with Russia. One debacle after another by these people who hold this veneer of expertise. And it's just absolute lies. So here it is, what we've learned from DNI files. December 7, 2016. I'm just reiterating this to set up the rest of the collusion portion of the show. Assessment reiterate, December 7th, 2016. Assessment reiterates Russia didn't tamper with the election. Pretty much over. Wouldn't everybody agree? It's over. Russia didn't tamper. And by the way, again, Russia didn't tamper at all. And I've always espoused, and I thought of this today, because it's been proven, but the people that proved it to me are people like Clapper and Brennan. It turned out, leave this up for me, that Russia gave about $200,000, put about $200,000 into tampering with the election. $200,000. And remember, Hillary Clinton spent nearly $1 billion on her campaign. Kamala spent over $1 billion on her campaign. But Russia spent $200,000 to influence the campaign, allegedly. But that's given to us by James Clapper and by John Brennan. That's the people told us. Where did they get that? Do we honestly think that it was Russia that spent the $200,000 total spent by Russia to try to influence the 2016 election? When in each campaign, Trump was about, you know, $500 million and Clinton was about almost $1 billion. And we're talking about $200,000. $100,000 on Clinton, $100,000 for pro-Clinton ads, $100,000 for pro-Trump ads. Because all they want to do is basically just sow dissension in the ranks in the United States electorate. Because that's all they wanted to do. If that's even true, because I'll bet you right now that Russia didn't even spend that $200,000, that it was given to NGOs. And the NGOs spent it in the name of Russia. I'll bet you that right now that Russia spent zero on that election. If you're going to spend any money on an election, why would you spend $200,000? December 8th, 2016, brief canceled. So a brief comes in, says, nope, Russians didn't tamper. And how does a brief get canceled? Isn't a brief simply a factual brief? If I come in here today and I say, you know what, the weather today is a low of 77 and a high of 92 in Florida today, how do you cancel that? It's in fact true because the assessment reiterates Russia didn't tamper with the election. To that, but one day later, brief canceled based on new guidance. Can anybody define for me what new guidance means? That was Obama saying, I don't want that assessment. Give me another one. Okay. That again is the Stalin principle of if you don't investigate a crime, investigate a man to find a crime. And that's exactly what Obama was doing. So Obama was saying, Obama was the new guidance. So that's how they word it. These are absolutely disgusting, repulsive human beings. I mean, they really are. They live in the shadows. They live under the wing of Satan. They really do. Because they mince their words. They carefully craft their words based on new guidance. Based on new guidance meant Barack Hussein Obama didn't like that you came up with the very fact that Russia did not tamper with the election. So we need to come up with another brief that lies and says that they did. That's what he was asking for. December 9th, 2016, Obama orders the new assessment. Why would you order a new assessment? Because again, like I told you, the Russian collusion hoax had been going on since Trump came down the elevator in 2015. It was going on since then all the way. It really originated in the UK. For real origination was really in the UK under Trump's soon-to-be or future, at the time, CIA director Gina Haspel. Because what they did was Clapper and Brennan and Comey put it out to the Five Eyes countries to do those bumps of George Papadopoulos and other people. That started with Gina Haspel, and Trump ends up appointing her as the CIA director because he doesn't know any better. That's who all these people are. There are no exceptions. Everybody in Washington, D.C. is a degenerate with notable, very few, 1 in 1,000 exceptions. So Obama orders a new assessment 2 days later after the assessment he didn't like. January 6, 2006, with 14 days left in office, the new assessment is released so that they can orchestrate an investigation into a crime, into an incident, crime or not, that did not exist. All right, let's go to the next one. Where the heck am I? Oh, yeah, I'm at Chicago One Ray. Is that right?
Yep.
All right, at Chicago One Ray video. Could the emails Hillary deleted on her private server be the ones that show her campaign was working with Barack Obama to initiate the Russian collusion hoax? I never thought of that until Chicago One Ray did that. Could the emails Hillary deleted on her private server while Barack Obama... Because again, the military runs the communications in the White House. People don't know that. They think the Secret Service does. They don't. The military does. So everybody has to have approved devices via the military. And you have to get like an exception. You have to actually, in writing, that's there somewhere. Unless it was deleted by the Biden administration. Because Obama's running the Biden administration. Obama's the only president in history that has remained in Washington, D.C. The only one in history. That's just a coincidence, so don't worry about it. But in order for Barack Obama to be receiving emails from Hillary Clinton, he had to get her device cleared by the military, which is paperwork. That proving that he knew that she had a server that was not government approved, that was not military approved, that she was running her own private server. So he knew it. All of this is part of covering all of that up. Could the emails Hillary deleted on her private server be the ones that show her campaign was working with Obama to initiate the Russian collusion hoax? Play for me.
Nothing, and I will underscore, nothing that I was sent or that I sent was marked classified.
Secretary Clinton said, I did not email any classified material to anyone on my email. There is no classified material. Was that true?
There was classified material emailed.
I never sent nor received any information that was classified at the time it was sent and received.
Secretary Clinton said there was nothing marked classified on her emails either sent or received. Was that true?
That's not true.
110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received.
When I got to work as Secretary of State, I opted for convenience to use my personal email account because I thought it would be easier to carry just one device for my work and for my personal emails instead of two.
Secretary Clinton said she used just one device. Was that true?
She used multiple devices during the 4 years of her term as Secretary of State.
I didn't have to turn over anything. I chose to turn over 55,000 pages of my email, but we turned over everything that was work-related, every single thing.
Secretary Clinton said all work-related emails were returned to the State Department. Was that true?
No, we found work-related emails, thousands, that were not returned.
What, like with a cloth or something? Well, no.
You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails, and then you acid wash them.
Everything he just said is absolutely false.
Secretary Clinton said neither she nor anyone else deleted work-related emails from her personal account. Was that true?
The email software was removed. That didn't remove the email content. The effect was that millions of email fragments ended up in the server's unused or slack space. This helped us recover work-related emails that were not among the 30,000 that were produced to state.
We went through a thorough process to identify all of my work-related emails and deliver them to the State Department.
Secretary Clinton said her lawyers read every one of the emails and were overly inclusive. Did her lawyers read the email content individually?
No.
Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
Did Donald Trump obstruct justice as you read the incidences as Mueller lays them out?
Well, I think there's enough there that any other person who had engaged in those acts would certainly have been indicted.
Exactly what acts are those, Hillary? She's talking about the Mueller investigation, she's talking about the collusion hoax. Tell me why. I would love any Democrat, because it's just like the street interviews that we show all the time in the post game. We go up to a Democrat and you say, you up and you confront them and you say that Donald Trump is a racist. Tell me how he's a racist. They never can answer it. You say that he's a Nazi. Tell me how he's a Nazi. I mean, seriously, I would love to know that. I've never seen anybody list anything, with the exception of maybe one guy. So I think I've seen one guy list things, but still it's vast generalities. Some just like the what exactly did he do in the collusion hoax? I mean, I would just love any Democrat to give me an outline. What Russian agents did he meet with? What Russian operatives did he meet with? What funds did he receive? Anything. I mean, just tell me anything. I would love to see it. And then you have absolutely definitive proof of all of her crimes. I mean, you just think about what that woman did. And I never thought of what Chicago One Ray put. Could the emails Hillary deleted on her private server be the ones that show that her campaign was working with Obama to initiate the Russian collusion hoax, which is absolutely correct, because she's the one who hires Perkins Coie with Mark Elias, who hires Fusion GPS, who hires Christopher Steele, who hires Igor Danchenko, and they create the Steele dossier. So that's exactly true. But you just look at, that's exactly how it went down. So it probably is true. And that's again, this is why, anything that Comey says, by the way, it's a billion times worse than what he said. You know, 110 emails over 52, it's thousands upon thousands of emails. And who does Hillary, why is it that when Hillary's server, her emails, I repeat that three-letter word, all, because she had a private server in a bathroom in Denver, Colorado. That's where her server was. Totally illegal. I mean, James Comey, I can't remember, Aaron might remember, but I don't remember how he changed the verbiage on the affidavit where he removed, there's certain verbiage like extreme, whatever to what I can't remember how
careless,
extremely careless. That's the one and that's what he changed it to.
Yeah.
And the statute says like something else, whatever, but he changed the verbiage. There is no other way. There's no way to be more careless than she was with classified information. So she obviously meets the statutory requirements to be tried for this crime. So you had that is in and of itself. She has classified. Remember again, and I know this was redundant for you red pill folks out there, and you're the only ones watching this show right now, or the red pill people. But and listen again, we may not agree on everything. Doesn't mean we're not all red pilled. But anyway, so you have a I don't know what the seaman or whatever his rank is on a submarine who takes a picture of where he works so he can show his parents. Not pictures of the silos or anything else. Takes a picture. He goes to prison for a year and gets dishonorably discharged. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, has the server in a bathroom in Denver, Colorado, and was obviously infiltrated also by foreign sources. She is subpoenaed by Congress to turn over all, ALL, three-letter word, all, emails to Congress. Aaron, that couldn't be any more clear, could it?
No.
Okay. I mean, it's all. Now, she decides, as every Democrat does, that she's going to turn over all work-related emails. You would not have the right to do that. If you and I, Aaron actually had to be a witness in a criminal case one time involving computer stuff.
Yeah.
You don't get an option of what you deem gets to be turned in. They ask you for the hard drive. You hand them the freaking hard drive. You don't go and bleach bit part of it. You don't do any of that. You hand it in. Otherwise, you've committed a felonious crime called tampering with evidence. She, on the other hand, decides that she's just going to turn in work-related emails. Therefore, she can deem what is work-related and what is not. And then she sends out, oh, good, Aaron, you're awesome. There it is. The phrasing, Aaron just sent this to me, the phrasing in the early draft of the FBI Director James Comey statement, grossly negligent. So he changes grossly. In order for you to be charged under 18 U.S.C. 793, just leave this up for me, Aaron, the whole time. In order for you to be charged that way, you have to be grossly negligent in how you handle classified information. Can everybody agree? Everybody in the studio here, everybody watching. Can everybody agree that it's grossly negligent to have the Secretary of State's server in a bathroom in Colorado?
Yeah.
That's. I think we can all agree, right? That would be grossly negligent, can easily be compromised, has no military protections on it. Remember, all those things, White House communications, including hard drives, emails, cell phones, text messages, are all run by the military, not the Secret Service, the military. And she, unbeknownst to them, had her own server, and then Obama somehow got it to her, somehow enabled her to email him also, and got that approved by the military. I don't know how that worked. And again, I'm speaking out of turn, but maybe the military did approve. Maybe they're corrupt and they approved her hard drive in the bathroom in Denver, Colorado. But anyway,
yeah,
who knows? Nobody knows. Because us gross, disgusting Walmart people, peasants, we're not allowed to know any of these things. only our wise leaders, the elites like Jim Clapper and John Brennan, only those people are allowed to see these things. Only they are allowed to discern whether or not we should be allowed to see them or not. Go, Aaron.
An IT specialist from the military would have to whitelist or approve her email server contacting the president, because that server has its own designation, like at clintonemail.com. They'd have to say, this is allowed to communicate with the president's email. So 100% they approved it.
Yeah, I read that today. So my the way that I feel about it is that's proven that they white, and I couldn't think of it. I got a white hat stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Because I read it earlier today. So whitelist, that's correct. They absolutely did whitelist the communications coming from the hard drive, from Hillary's hard drive in the bathroom in Denver, Colorado. They did whitelist the communications going into Obama's phone, but did they actually approve the server being in Denver, Colorado? I doubt it, but who knows? But anyway, the phrasing in the early draft of the FBI Director James Comey's statement was grossly negligent, which was later changed to extremely careless so he wouldn't have to charge her. He did that, and by the way, all of that was just an op too. They approved Jim Comey coming out and doing that. Like, again, I told you this a couple weeks before the election. Back in 2016, Comey came out and said he was reopening the investigation. That was approved by the Clinton campaign, I guarantee you. They thought they had such a big lead. Remember, at that time, they had such a big lead that nobody thought Trump had a chance. Nobody. So they were like, yeah, go ahead, save your career. You can be the FBI director when we take office. Come out and say you're reopening the investigation. And, you know, everybody will think that, you know, that you're an honest man. You know, they think you're above board. Well, obviously he wasn't. And then they attack him afterwards. That's just typical D.C. politics. The adjustment was made because grossly negligent is a specific legal standard under 18 U.S.C. 793 for mishandling classified documents, which, by the way, a felony. Whereas extremely careless is not statutory term. So that's what Comey did to weasel his way out of it. Then, so Hillary just decides, you know what? I'm only going to turn in my work-related emails. If Joe did that, he'd be in federal prison. If I did that, I'd be in federal prison. But Hillary can do it. She can decide which ones. It's just like when Shifty Schiff was asked about him lying on both of his mortgage applications because he's claimed primary residence in both California and Maryland. There's no way around it. Okay, he's committed two felony crimes at minimum. And he's refied on those properties three times in Maryland. Four times, actually, over a five-year period, and lied every single time. Then refied or bought a new property in California to get the reduced mortgage rate. He lied there and called that his primary residence. And then what he said was, when he's asked about it, is Donald Trump is attacking me for having two residences. Nobody's attacking you for having two residences. We're attacking you for lying in your mortgage applications. That's what we're attacking you for. So that you can receive preferential mortgage rates by claiming that it's your primary residence. That's what we're talking about. No, it's got nothing to do with your two residences. That's just simply a deflection. Same thing with Hillary. I'm going to deflect by saying I turned in all work related. So she gets to deem which one she turns in. Then she bleach bits all of her devices. You saw on the video, 3-minute video, that every last thing the woman has said was a lie. She's never come out and said, I lied about it all, of course. Every last thing she said. Even Comey under oath had to acknowledge she was lying. Remember when Trey Gowdy was good? That was nice. Those were good times. And he's now become a weak-kneed, bent-over rhino. But anyway, then she bleach bits all of her devices. And then bleach bit is not enough. She has her staff go outside with hammers and beat all of their BlackBerries into submission. Smash all of her BlackBerries. But she's innocent, though. All right, Western Lensman video, October 2020. This is October 2020. Here's Obama calls Spygate allegations absurd. Play for me.
Trump keeps tweeting that the attorney general should indict you or indict Vice President Biden for spying on his campaign. The allegation is absurd. It's false. It's seemingly part of just his general rage at any discussion of Russian interference in the 2016 campaign.
The allegations are so absurd that even Republican-controlled committees, looking into it, have dismissed them. And, Attorney General Barr has dismissed them. But, this is an example, I think, of a larger problem. Well, two larger problems, which don't get as much attention, understandably, when you've got high unemployment and a pandemic raging, because it doesn't touch people's day-to-day lives. But one of the central foundation stones of a democracy is the idea that you do not allow the politicization of the criminal justice system, the intelligence system, the military, right? That is stuff that you keep out of politics, right? Because it's too dangerous.
It's amazing. He says that you don't weaponize the DOJ or the intelligence systems. That's something you got to keep out of politics. See, you and I couldn't pull that off. You and I could not pull that off. He does it seamlessly with demonic conviction. I mean, literally demonic conviction. That's what he does. I mean, it's truly amazing that he could actually say that when he did nothing but weaponize those various agencies against Republicans. This is a man who had his intel briefing come in and say there was no Russian interference, and he commanded his intel officials to give him a different briefing 2 days later, and then says against his political rival. And the reason why he did those things was he had to. He knew that Trump was taking office. There was no time for him to delete every document they have, and they can't. It's difficult to delete documents because there is, no matter what, a paper trail or a digital paper trail. So it's very difficult to delete documents. That's why there's an Epstein something. It's very difficult to delete every document. So he knew that. He knew that he had really, at that time, December 7th, he had a month and a half, a little under a month and a half, that he needed to get things in place so that Donald Trump could not find out all that he had done, all the illegalities that Barack Obama had committed. And then you see, he uses the usual, Washington rhetoric. Well, Barr says it's not real. Oh, Bill Barr, whose dad put Jeffrey Epstein in the upper echelon school where he got his job then from Bear Stearns, that Bill Barr, and then Bill Barr oversaw his incarceration and death. So, father introduces Bill Barr into the realm of intelligence and honeypotting, and then his son, what are the odds of that, Aaron? What do you think? What are the odds of that? Then his son oversees his incarceration and death.
Yeah,
what
weird.
Are the odds of that? But Bill Barr, Aaron. Well, Bill Barr.
Well,
Bill Barr
says Bill
Barr. Bill Barr. I mean, yeah. Bill Barr said that there is no collusion, just
legit.
Like Bill Barr. Right. Bill Barr said there was no election interference either. Bill Barr said there was no widespread election fraud that could overturn an election. But Bill Barr said it. And Republicans dismissed it in the committees that they're on. That's because there's no difference. Republicans are not controlled opposition. They're just simply the opposition. They really are. They're the opposition. They're not really conservatives. They're there so that we don't put a real conservative in their seat. They hold on to that seat and they say the right things. Don't do the right things, but say the right things, because all most people do is see what they say and hear what they say, not what they actually do and what they vote on. So they hold those seats so that we can't put legitimate Thomas Massey, Rand Paul, Ron Johnson type, or MJT even, Marjorie Taylor Greene, conservatives in those seats. And of course, he just says that these things are absurd and false. Look at this. So let's look at now the latest Obama response. Nick Sorter video, breaking Tulsi Gabbard calls out Barack Obama. Play it for me.
From former President Obama there. He's saying that none of this makes any sense, that this is a distraction. What do you say to that?
It's the art of deflection coming from former President Obama, as well as his friends who are still in Congress today, and Senator Warner and Congressman Jim Himes, really all basically saying that exact same statement, which doesn't actually address the issue that was revealed in great detail in the over 100 documents that we released last week, in the documents that we will be releasing later this week, that point to the undeniable fact that you laid out in your introduction to this segment, is that the intelligence community had one assessment, that Russia did not have the intent or capability to try to impact the outcome of the U.S. election leading up to Election Day. The same assessment was made after Donald Trump was elected by the American people as president in 2016, defeating Hillary Clinton. And it wasn't until after that pulled president's daily brief document that you referenced that the Principals Committee was called in the National Security Council. And President Obama then directed Obama's ODNI, DNI James Clapper, to lead the effort to create this new intelligence community assessment that detailed not if, but how Moscow attempted to influence the outcome of the U.S. election. So this is the thing that I think people should pay attention to.
So Obama's only response right now is that this is, what's the words that he used? This doesn't make any sense. It makes perfect sense. I mean, we have the timeline, December 7th to 9th. To 16th, you change the intel report. That is nothing. Again, there's many other aspects to this. Many, many other aspects to this. Whether it's the Steele dossier, whether it's the Flynn aspect of it. Just a couple, just headlines here, real quick before we go. General Flynn from News Treason Channel. General Flynn says he believes Mike Pence was absolutely involved in the Russiagate setup. That's General Flynn saying that. From John Solomon at Just the News. Anybody heard of Operation Arctic Frost? Oh, yeah, well, there's another one for you. That is where Biden, at Obama's command, gave Jack Smith, Donald Trump, and Mike Pence's phones from when they were president to initiate the whether it was the insurrection investigation or the documents investigation. Documents are probably just their communications with NARA, which I don't have time to get into. But anyway. All right. Well, just real quick. I just want people to know. I mean, all of this stuff. You look at the documents case. How did that begin? So now you know how the insurrection case began. It began with Operation Arctic Frost. That's the truth. It's from John Solomon, Just the News. From Chuck Grassley and Senator Ron Johnson, from a whistleblower. Confirm a criminal conspiracy between the Biden White House and the FBI's Washington field office, prosecutors from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C., Special Prosecutor Jack Smith, to plan, approve, and execute Arctic Frost with the intent to frame, arrest, prosecute, and imprison Donald Trump effectively for attempting to overthrow the Constitutional Republic. So that's the insurrection case. The other one was the NARA case, the National Archives case, where you had the Obama administration for the first time in history sending a letter to the National Archives asking them to ask Trump about the documents that he has at Mar-a-Lago, where you have Clinton with hundreds of thousands of documents and Hussein with hundreds of thousands of documents nobody cares about. But suddenly, the current administration sends a letter to NARA, the archives. That wasn't some sort of rush. Donald Trump is selling nuclear secrets to Russia. It all had to do with the National Archives. Most benign thing there is. And when the Democrats wanted the FBI to put together a terrorist watch list of all the parents that were speaking at school board meetings, how did they initiate it? Christopher Wray and the FBI sent a letter to the NSA, National School Board Association, and asked them to send a letter to them back to the FBI requesting that they investigate these parents. That's exactly what happened. And that's what Biden did with NARA. They asked them to investigate Donald Trump. Now, the person that works in NARA works for Joe Biden. So what's that person going to do? Exactly what Joe Biden asked them to do. Same thing with Arctic Frost. All right, that's it. Rumble Rants tonight. Nate Dad won $20. Naz Yeager, $5. Thank you guys so much in the rant. Thank you guys so much in the chat. Love you guys. Stick around for the post game. Post game's funny, light and easy. Short. Back here tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. God bless you guys.